Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 207 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And in this episode of From Behind the Barbecue Front Lines, I talked to Harler Harp from Harp Barbecue in Kansas City. This one is really great because I've been following and showing the progression of Tyler for the last couple years, and this year was pegged to be a big one for him. He had, I'll let him talk about it, but he had gotten a number of pits, and things seemed to be really rolling. He was packing it in at Crane Brewing in Raytown, and then the pandemic hit, and he had to change things. He took a step back. A lot of the restaurants took a step back. He ended up going to the Antler Room, which is one of the best restaurants in the country. He was doing pop-ups there. Again, I'll let him get into that. It was really interesting. It's really creative. In July, he might be doing some more stuff there. As of June 20th, he is back at Crane Brewing. He'll be there every Saturday. He might be popping up one more day a week there. That's a strong, strong possibility. This is great. Tyler is really insightful. He's extremely humble, hardworking, passionate about barbecue, knowledgeable about the shoulders that he's standing on, the roots of Kansas City barbecue, the roots of Texas barbecue, and the food scene that is being created in Kansas City. I think you're really, really gonna love this. I think you'll get a lot of information if you're a barbecue joint starting out or dealing with things during the pandemic. I can't thank Tyler enough for doing what he's doing, as well as taking the time to share. This episode is brought to you by Treaty Oak Distilling. They're available at treatyoakdistilling.com or in Dripping Springs, Texas. Also, AJ's Custom Cookers. That's ajscustomcookers.com. Check them out, give them a DM, get a quote. Amazing guy. Amazing product he's putting out. If you're just listening to this on the podcast, I have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with tons of content, lots of cool stuff, putting out new things every day. I have a new website launching really soon, so stay on board for that. At the end, stay safe through this. Thank you for listening.
Welcome. Yeah, so actually, 2020, it's been a whirlwind. For everybody, so not just us, obviously. Right at the first of the year, or after Christmas, I bought Hellberg's. It was the first Harper big pit that he built for the Hellberg's.
Okay.
And so I bought that from Philip and Yvette, and I brought it back right at New Year's. So we were cooking on a 375-gallon cooker that I still have. So then we had the 375 and the 500-gallon Harper. And then, yeah, about a month ago, I just got the 1,000-gallon that he built for me. So we were kind of all geared up, ready to cook as much food as we possibly could. We had some really big events scheduled, some big outdoor events here in Kansas City for the summer, the spring, and everything like that. And that kind of went by the wayside. Yeah, so, so now we've got a ton of cooking space, finally, that we needed for the past year, and briskets are $9 a pound, and it seems to be going up. It's not that bad. I think we were paying $5.49 last week, but apparently it's taking another hike this week, so tough on everybody trying to sell meat right now.
Oh, definitely. But it's also, too, I would think as we go forward, at least for a while, we'll be able to teach the customers that prices will be higher if they want it. I think it's a shame. You don't want to pass it. You have to pass it along to somebody. And I think it's going to be like that across the board. Supermarkets going to be like that eventually too, I think.
And I kind of feel like people will still spend money on stuff they really want to spend money on. Sure. They're probably going to eliminate stuff that's not as important to them first. We're really kind of all in a weird situation right now because we've been selling at the brewery for the past year.
Yeah.
And then the COVID, when it hit, everything kind of, pumped the brakes real quick. And we had shut down before a lot of places here just because I wasn't sure. I didn't understand. I didn't know a lot about it. I didn't know how much was being transferred through serving food or eating food. And we would just cram. I mean, we were getting 200 or 300 people into a real small space.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the time, we're in a brewery. The brewery isn't mine, obviously, and so I didn't want to put anybody else's name at risk for bad publicity, bad media attention if we were to have a continue our barbecue pop-ups there and something were to happen, because like I said, we were cramming a ton of people into a small space. So yeah, we
did they shut down too for a little bit?
They did, and we were so in the brewery I'm at. There's actually a food truck, the brewery, and then there's a coffee place as well. So we kind of got four businesses there in one. And we were the first to pull it, like I said, because we were bringing a lot of people in was the main reason. And so we had actually, we'd stopped ours before anything. I think we were one of the first things in Kansas City to shut down. And then and I told everybody by the next week that all the restaurants would be shut down. And that's exactly what happened. So we were stagnant for about 10 days. And I was really just brainstorming, trying to figure out what's next, where we're going to go, what we're going to do. So I'd sent some messages to some buddies of mine here in town that are chefs, a handful, and just kind of said, you know, hey, you know, anything I can do to help you guys, I'm willing to do it. I'm not, you know, looking to make money. I just want to help people get by during this time and make sure that the culture that we've kind of started building here in Kansas City, as far as trying not just barbecue, but all the across the board with food, that, you know, there's a really a group of people that are my age, some are a little younger, some are a little older, but we're really trying to push the food scene here forward. And I think we're making some headway with that. And I didn't want to see all that work go by the wayside. So I wanted to help whoever I could help. So I sent out some text messages. And about two or three days later, Nick Gollner got a hold of me. And he is the executive chef and the owner of the Antler Room here in Kansas City, which is one of the best restaurants in this city. Nick has a lot of experience. He's cooked around the world. He's cooked in San Francisco and New York, and he actually worked at the restaurant Noma over in Copenhagen.
Yeah, it's a little old restaurant.
Yeah.
No, Antler Room is one of the best restaurants in the country, I've heard.
Yeah, and January, the last week of January, I went and spent a week with the Hellbergs. And the last week in February, I went to spend a week at Bodacious with Brian, his wife Kimmy, and their team. I've been fortunate. I got to work with Matt Horn. I got to work with Danny Castillo. From Heritage, I got to work with Brett. So I've got to work with a handful of people, learn a lot. And so this year with working with the Hellbergs and then at Bodacious for a week and coming back, and once we got back from Bodacious, I think we did one pop-up and then the COVID hit. Then we went down to the Antler Room. And so I've been there for probably 50, 60 hours a week or more for about 10 weeks now.
What are you doing over there?
So on Fridays, we're doing sandwich collaborations. So I'm making pastrami's and they're making Reuben sandwiches with the pastrami. I'm doing pork and we're doing Cubanos. We're doing the smoked burger that the burger's really taken off and it's getting a lot of recognition for what it's doing. I think we're all pretty nervous about the burger because Chef, I don't think he was super excited about the idea. So the Antler Room, they don't have a lot of Midwest traditional cuisine on their menu. It's you know, more European based. It's fusion food. It's small plates, turn and burn. And so usually they don't even have a lot of beef, pork, or chicken on their menu. It's like more fish and lamb and different things that are kind of unique to Kansas City. Mm-hmm. I was kind of honored that they wanted to have a barbecue there. And
it's actually kind of, if you think about it, it's pretty genius to do for this time, during this time at least too. And it actually it opens up a window that potentially once this passes, there could be something.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I got to give the credit to Nick to that for his open-mindedness and understanding that we were in a time where there was really no rules at the moment. So let's go ahead and let's just make the best food we can make, food we would want to eat, and sell that. And so we've had a lot of luck with that, you know, as far as getting by and everything and keeping our brand going and you know, we get new customers and stuff. So we've had luck with it and we're going to continue to push it forward as long as need be. We're kind of in a weird spot because they started a bunch of construction at the brewery recently. And so it's just not inside the brewery, though they are doing some smaller stuff in the brewery, but there's a big trailhead for a bike trail that they're working on in the parking lot, the county is. And so that's going to take until October or so, they're saying. So we're just going to try to swim by however we can, you know, between the COVID and the meat shortage and this construction. It's just been kind of like one thing after another.
So you haven't done any brewery pop-ups since COVID broke out or since?
No, we sold a bunch of briskets yesterday for Memorial Day, but we haven't done any full-on barbecue pop-ups in a while. And we may change that again. We may do some on Sundays at the Antler Room, kind of just depending on the availability of the meat and how all that's going to go, you know, with people not working and everything. It seems like the first couple of weeks it was going real well, and then it seems like it's kind of declined, and I don't know if that's because some restaurants are opening back up, so people that want to go out to eat, they are.
Or and then also, the fun, like you said, the funds, like people don't have their now that it's realizing how long it might go on. Because Kansas City, are you guys at 25% for indoors or not at all yet?
We are at 50% on the 1st of June.
Okay.
So it's been kind of weird with the county and the cities, and there's been different directions from both. So it kind of just, I think Kansas City, I'm not sure exactly their plan. I know it's the county, though. The county is moving to 50% on June 1st.
Interesting. Wow. What's the overall climate there? Are people wearing masks? Are people not wearing masks? Are people nervous? Are people itching to get out?
What's funny is I work in the city and I live in the suburbs. And so it's like two different.
Can imagine.
Yeah. And so in the city, it seems like people are wearing masks and being safer and doing the social distancing more and just kind of trying to play their part. And then out in the suburbs, it's kind of more of a I don't really care attitude. So, I mean, you get both ends of it out here, and we just try to do our part to keep it going. And we wear masks when we serve food and we prep food. And, you know, like I said, we want to do everything we can from our angle to stop the spread and to be safe.
So what are the best ways to get a hold to find out? Are people ordering online? Are they calling in? Or is it just walk up? Or what's the best way? And then are they taking it to go?
Yep. So we've been doing curbside to go.
Okay.
It's all been ordering online through the Antler Room's website.
Okay.
So we've had we have four or five sandwiches. We've been doing a smoked Italian lamb dip as well, which is really good. And then, I've been putting sausage on the menu on Fridays as well. So we got about five sandwiches that we've been doing collaborations on, and then a lot of different sausages, that I gotta give a shout out to Philip and Brian Bingham both, because, you know, going down there and working this year, my sausage is really, I'm really proud of it right now, where we've come from. It's been one of the most frustrating things I've ever had to do. And, I think the first week I got to Bodacious, or the first day I was at Bodacious, Brian asked me how fast I've made sausage. And I told him, I said, I'm not very fast. And he said, well, you better get started then, because there's 50 pounds in the walk-in we got to do. So he kind of threw me into the ocean. And I'm grateful for that, because since then, and just spending that week there, it seems like, you know, I've gotten a lot more confidence in the sausage ability and the execution. That's been a lot better as well.
What great knowledge, like the Hellbergs and then Brian, like that's such great, like you've had, and then kind of staging and working those other places with Brett and Daniel and Matt. But I think that going to, and especially looking at the Instagram and Twitter feed of Brian, you know, he's a sausage, like a little savant.
So I got to take the guys that work with me to Texas Monthly Barbecue Festival back in November. We'd worked all weekend, sold barbecue, and then immediately after selling barbecue, we drove to Texas at like, I think we left about 3 p.m, so we got to Austin about 3 a.m. Okay. We've been working all week. We get to Austin at 3 a.m, and we'd woke up about 4 hours later to go get in line at Franklin, because I actually hadn't been to Franklin's restaurant. I had ordered whole briskets from there.
Oh, yeah, I remember you brought it back to the hotel, right?
Yeah, but that was my first time, and so I got to take the guys that work with us to Franklin. Then we went to the barbecue festival, and I think that their mind was just like, they couldn't believe it, just some of that we were getting to eat, you know, sausage from Tejas and Bodacious, and at Valentina's, they put together this incredible burn-in and mashed potato dish we were getting to eat from Blood Brothers Barbecue. So it was awesome to be able to show my guys kind of a lot of different things you can do with barbecue, things that people are doing currently, and just how good barbecue can be.
That's so eye-opening. And I think it's eye-opening for anybody that's watching this or listening that hasn't been to Texas. When things clear, when it's safer, go. You have to go travel around and go from east to north to west. Go everywhere, because things are different. They pull from their community, or they pull from their heritage. It's fascinating.
And even in one city, just like Austin per se, you could have two or three barbecue joints that are way different. So if you take, you know, Valentina's and compare it to Mickleway and compare that to Leroy and Lewis, you know, just there in Austin, you know, and there's more, but that's just a small sample of three barbecue places that are all three doing completely different things.
Or go out to the switch dripping, and then all of a sudden you've got the Cajun influence, and then you could just and to see the quality, and it's nice that you. I wanted to check in because I know a lot of people have asked me how you were doing and how things were going, and I wanted to check in and at least see your face and see that you're okay. How's your family? Are you guys safe?
Yeah, we are. Dad just come back and started cooking with us about 2 weeks ago, so we're kind of limiting him more or less to being outside. But he wanted to get back out of the house. My mom and him, they spend the winters in Florida. The day after Christmas, they went to Florida. And the day they got, I actually had called them and convinced them to come back a couple of days early because of the COVID was getting crazy. And so they went home and quarantined and all that. And it had been probably, well, my dad came to Florida, or he came to Texas when we worked at Bodacious. So I did see my dad right before all that, but I hadn't seen my mom in like 6 or 8 months or so.
Oh, man.
So, that was tough. And we finally got my dad out of the house, and he's helping cook again. And, you know, like I said, we're going to keep moving forward as safely as we can and play it by ear.
Well, is there, to kind of wrap this up, is there any message you want to give people or give the industry, anything you want to say?
The scene in Kansas City is growing. It's changing a lot. I think in the past 4 or 5 months, I've seen probably 6 or 7 offset smokers.
Nice.
Been drugged to Kansas City from other parts of the country. I know one of the guys up here, he just got a Chud's Pit. And so to where the past however many years, you know, we've been kind of cooking on Old Hickories and Southern Prides in Kansas City. I've seen a lot of offset smokers rolling in here in the
That's
past
make
handful
you happy,
of months.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see it move forward. And there's a lot of guys that are really, really care about everything they're doing. And I think one thing we're starting to realize is that Kansas City is definitely a brisket city. We just kind of had to open their mind to a different side, they hadn't seen before. So, you know, now we can't get briskets. So, but hopefully once, you know, this meat shortage hopefully goes over, I'm really excited for the way that Kansas City barbecue is going. And like I said, I think in 5 years, it'll be a different scene. And I think in 10 years, it'll be a totally different scene.
Yeah. And you're one of the forefathers, which is kind of nice. It's nice that but you would never say that, so that's why I'm saying it. But I think that you,
the forefathers are the ones, you know, that everybody from Henry Perry to Arthur Bryant, you know, all the way to Aaron Franklin. You know, we just want to continue to push it forward. Whether it be getting inspiration from a place like Leroy and Lewis, who just, you know, the stuff they put out is always insanity, or someplace in Los Angeles like Moose Craft, or from Heritage, or even from Horn, or from Slab. We try to pull from different regions, you know, and we've been doing the whole hog cooking quite a bit too, that we learned from Zach Parker. So hopefully it'll all come together at the right time for us. We'll find a building. We'll have a place to put all our smokers that I'm storing around the city, and we'll be able to get going here before too long. But in the meantime, we're just going to keep trying to do the best we can do and help everybody get through this, because that's what it's all about, community. And like I said in the beginning, I didn't want to see Kansas City lose any progress we had done from elevating the food culture here.
I agree. Well, thank you for taking the time, and thank you for doing what you're doing. And more so, I mean, like in 10 years, people will look back and see your passion and see that you are a big part of this third wave or second wave of Kansas City style barbecue. I think that,
you know, I'm not really looking for a lot of credit and stuff. I just want the scene here to grow and to push forward. So,
no, and I think that, and that's what I love about, that's what I love about you, is you want to see it evolve, and you want to see what you're seeing everywhere else have in Kansas City. And I think that's,
we should be a barbecue capital, and I think that we should definitely move forward as such. So,
definitely. Well, have a great week. Stay safe. Awesome. Thank you so much, Tyler.
Thanks,
I hope you stay well.